go into the history of that. It simply, Pentecost is translated from a Greek word that means 50th, 50 days after Passover. It marks a Jewish feast day, very important, called the Day of Pentecost or Feast of Harvest or Day of the First Fruits. But there was another event that took place on that day that we want to learn about, and it's got such great significance for us because after Jesus' resurrection, he gave a specific direction and a command to his disciples and the followers that were there. And he gave a promise that was going to be fulfilled on that special historic day that today marks as well. It continues its fulfillment on into our generation as well. Look with me at Luke 24, verse 45. We'll begin there from the New King James Version. And he opened up, Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, Jesus' name, to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, Jesus said. Look at verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. This is the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had told them about repeatedly. John 14, 15, 16, you'll see multiple references. But as Jesus spoke that to him, go wait in the city of Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. One of the Gospels says, and from there he's lifted up into heaven, the cloud caught up in the clouds. There, verse 51, now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them, carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They worshiped him at that point and returned. Something caught my attention. I won't stay here long, but when Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high, see what this verse says? They worshiped and went back to Jerusalem. In other words, they worshiped and obeyed. Worship without obedience isn't true worship. I wish I had some help in here this morning. But if we put that together, that's what they did. They worshiped. Their worship wasn't just a momentary event either. It was about to get accelerated, incredibly so. Verse 53, as they went back to Jerusalem obeying the Lord, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They heard, they obeyed, they worshiped in their waiting. Maybe some wondered, well, why do we even need to do this? We don't have to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit power. But why, perhaps in that crowd, they're specifically saying, why do we need to do that? The disciples had already spent some three and a half years in Jesus' theological seminary. Well, not exactly, but they were walking with him, being trained by him. But Jesus knew that they needed more than education. They needed more than head knowledge. They needed more than what their experiences had already afforded them as well. Jesus told them to go and wait until they were endued. That word means to be clothed with, to sink down into. Be clothed with power from heaven, power on high. But power for what? Look a little further. Now, Luke is the one who penned what we just read from the Gospel of Luke, but he's also the one who penned the book of Acts. God breathed it. He wrote these down and includes another very significant detail to what Jesus said in being clothed with, endued with power. Let's see how Jesus fills in that blank. Power for what? Power for what? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Read it out loud with me if you will. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power to be what? Witnesses. The power to be, he said, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power. Those are future indicative words, very strong words in the original language. The title of the message is really an answer to a personal question for myself. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? And my answer, why I need the Holy Spirit. I began pondering those things, why I need the Holy Spirit. Maybe people there that day were saying, I've got all this other thing. No. So I began to evaluate, saying, why I need the Holy Spirit. And I could go a long way, and I have so tried to edit this down and cut out stuff, and so I have to. I'm not going to keep you here all day. But why I need the Holy Spirit, maybe I got more answers than I can go into today. Is it just because Jesus said so? Go wait till you're endued with power. Any of you, some of you as parents may be saying this. Some of you as kids growing up, you may have heard this. Mom and daddy say, why do I have to do this? And they say, because I... Y'all experienced that, didn't you? Because I said so. You know, it has a lot more significance when you can know the why behind the what, though, is being said. Why? Why? And as we unpack this, Jesus didn't just leave it with, we'll do it because I said so. He told us why. What we just saw in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power and be my witnesses. Power to be my witnesses. Power to become true witnesses. The original word, again, catch some of you up. In the New Testament, is written in the Greek, was originally written in the Greek language. So you go back to those definitions and see a fuller understanding of that. The Greek word that was translated as witnesses is the same word that is used translated into martyr, or one who would die for their faith. Now, God wasn't just interested in giving us the power to die for our faith, though. He's given us the power to live in our faith. Amen. To live for Him. Another meaning of that, the witness in the legal sense, in our modern terms, has anybody here ever served on a jury and been a witness? Some of us have been on both of those ends. A witness is somebody who knows something. They've seen something. They've heard or experienced something. Now see, here's the deal as it relates spiritually. The world doesn't just need our nice little textbook theories about spirituality. They don't need just our cute philosophies about things. They need true witnesses of the power of God. I'm looking at people this morning that have personally seen, heard, and experienced the amazing power of God that changes us from the inside out. Again, is anybody in the house that relates to that? You're witnesses of that. See, God never intended for the church to be like a powerless museum where beautiful sculptures are just set out in display yet with no life at all, but rather His church, His people in the earth are to be vibrant, life-giving habitations of God, the Bible says, through which others can meet this resurrected Jesus. Amen. Let me look at three primary areas that I need His power to become, His power to be. I need the Holy Spirit's power, number one, to be a witness in love. To be a witness in love. Now, I believe there is a Holy Spirit empowerment for us to love. Romans 5, verse 5, the last half of that really spells this out. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Has been poured out. That word means to distribute largely. That's not the picture of a little squirt gun. Rather, can you picture a fire hose poured out? See, there's a distributing largely of the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts, our spirits. And when it says poured out in, that Greek word means on or through. If God can get it to us, He sure needs to get it through us. Amen. Let it go through us. When we seem to be running out of love, you know, kind of when you're driving down the road and that low fuel light comes on your vehicle. Sometimes I think we need to look. I mean, our love level low light is coming on. You may be, at that point, we better be on purpose about getting a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit's power in that area. You may be thinking about somebody right now that's pushing you into a Holy Spirit prayer meeting. God, I need some more filling. I need some anointing right there. Go ahead, get that. Fill me up with the love of God. Now, don't misunderstand. The love of God doesn't keep us from speaking the truth, but it frames the truth in love and in grace. Colossians 4, verse 6 says something so pointed. NIV is the translation I'm reading from. Let your conversation be always full of what? Grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Please put the right seasoning on when you're answering people. Somebody in here just thinks your seasoning needs to always be habanero sauce. Or that green, woo. Just, no. He said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, right seasoning. Being a witness with the love of God operating in us doesn't automatically, though, make us enablers. It won't. Or doormats. It doesn't prevent us from saying, no, I can't help you there. Sometimes, actually, his love requires us that we say, no. No, I can't agree with you there. No, I cannot support this. No, this is wrong. I oppose you. And that's actually still motivated by love. But I believe there really is a supernatural clothing and filling and outpouring of the love of God that will cause us to be channels of the Holy Spirit. Seeing the uprisings across our nation over the horrible murder of George Floyd. Our hearts have been moved in so many ways this past week. But we need to speak and act and write in love, full of grace. Again, it doesn't mean you don't address things that need to be addressed. We do. I want you to look with me at a contrast in this very area that Jesus spells out. With two of his disciples that would be mighty men of God. But this is pre-Holy Spirit filling. And look at Jesus, even though Jesus is the embodiment of love, he's gonna address some things real straight with them. And it kind of applies with where we are, even as a nation right now. Luke 9, verse 51, but why do I need the Holy Spirit? I need his love to operate through me, because mine will run out. And mine will get twisted a different way. I need the powerful presence of God operating. Luke 9, verse 51 just gives a scenario. As the time drew near for Jesus to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. Samaritans and Jews were in opposition. There was an ethnic problem there. They were prejudicial against one another. And the people did not want Jesus coming because he was going to the capital of Israel, to Jerusalem of the Jews. But look at verse 54. And when Jesus' disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Now, there's the love of God in it. Go to the neighborhood, knock on the door, say, I just need to talk to you about Jesus. They said, not interested in that. Back up 10 feet. God, do you want me to call down fire right here? Burn this sucker up? What are you? Whoa. Jesus. These are disciples. They've been with Jesus probably at that time over 3 years. I'm telling you, sometimes it's not just what we learn up here. It's what God can empower and transform in us on the inside. But look at Jesus. He didn't pull any punches. In verse 55, but Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Let me clarify that. He said, you're yielding to some demons that are going on. And I'm telling you, some of what's going on has, in so many areas, has been demonically induced. And Jesus, the perfect embodiment of love, he he declares what it really is. You're yielding to the wrong spirit. You don't know what you're responding to. Verse 56, look at this clarification. For the Son of Man, Jesus talking about himself, did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Amen. That's the mission of God that works. I do know this, that without the Holy Spirit's power, I cannot be a consistent witness in love the way I should be, and neither can you. And we need to rise up and do what's right, but don't be motivated or we'll be calling down fire, setting on fire, being destructive. We need to be constructive. Call things what they are in the wrong, and then stand for things in the right that need to be stood for. Amen. And all of it in the love of God. Amen. Okay, let me get on to the second thing. A second reason I believe I need the Holy Spirit's power. Number two is to be a witness in purity. In purity. We're forgiven. We're cleansed by the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It's through his authority we can repent, receive the remission. That word means a putting away of sins. But the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in us is a sanctifying work, or a setting apart of the heart and life from our old default positions of sinfulness and all those things. Jeff gave a wonderful testimony out of our old default positions and into a position of purity. That's by the blood of Jesus. But God's doing a work progressively in us by his Holy Spirit as we allow him to. Paul said it this way, Romans 9 verse 1 from the Contemporary English Version, I am a follower of Christ and the Holy Spirit is a witness to my conscience. See, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he causes in our conscience an awareness of and an awakening to take place of the purity of God. It's the Holy Spirit's accompanying power for change that happens there too. Not just an awareness that I'm missing it, but the power to get it on track with the Lord. I read something long ago and I think it still so rings true. We will either change our conduct to match our conscience, or we'll change our conscience to match our conduct. You kind of, it's like a tongue twister, but I believe so important. We guard our consciences, keep listening to the Holy Spirit and the Word, not just what's acceptable in the world or even with compromising Christians, but change our conduct, get it elevated to what the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to in our spirits, our hearts. He'll elevate us, equip us for that. Don't go the other way around, because if I persist in my conduct that's contrary to God, my conscience will become hardened and more callous. I got to move on. Let me get to number three. Share one this reason that I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit in me. To number three, be a witness in boldness. To be a witness in boldness. See, these guys that had walked with Jesus for that 3 years, don't be mistaken. They had seen God work miracles through them. They had seen God work deliverance through them. They had been used in the ministry of the Word. They'd seen those things. But you know what we don't see is a Holy Spirit-empowered boldness. But God was wanting to get something to them and to us as well. I need the Holy Spirit's power. And this last section is where I need to take the most of my time this morning. The pressure around us may seek to intimidate Christians to simply sit down and shut up. And I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is causing us rather to become witnesses in boldness. He'll cause us to rise up and to speak up. There's some things we can't be silent about. And whether it be in our culture, or it be in the governmental issues, or it be in moral issues, or it be in so many areas. But listen, it's to be in Holy Spirit-empowered boldness, not arrogance. And not pride, and not in rudeness. Some people, their boldness could be defined like a Mack truck heading down the freeway just to run somebody over or something. That's not the kind of Holy Spirit boldness that we see demonstrated and that God wants to empower us with. Let's go back and see what happened on that day of Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago today, Remember with me again, the apostles, the other believers had heard Jesus' command just before the resurrected Jesus went back to heaven. He said, go wait in Jerusalem. I'm sending the Holy Spirit because I want you to be filled. And in response, Acts chapter 1, we find about 120, specifically it says that number, made their way and they gathered in Jerusalem, including the apostles, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Bible says other women who were following Jesus. They had apparently been, by the time the day of Pentecost gets there, there's about a 7 to 10 day window there. They've apparently been praising, worshiping, praying, blessing the Lord. And then we come to this passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It's not just that we're in one place geographically. Even those watching online, you can be in one accord. You may not be in this building, but and then just because we're in one place geographically doesn't mean we're all in one accord. But God wants us all that to happen. Amen. Somebody said real fellowship isn't two fellows in the ship rowing. It's two fellows in the ship rowing the same way. Fellowship, we're going the same direction. Unity, they're all in one accord and in one place. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It doesn't say it was a rushing mighty wind. It says as of. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, like fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Word utterance means words or sounds, syllables, other languages that the speakers had not learned of that 120. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit still does that. He brings supernatural utterance when he fills believers today, either in languages that are known in the earth, or the Bible speaks of the tongues of angels, or unknown tongues that the Bible says no man understands. As you look at the setting in Acts chapter 2, there were about 15 different dialects that were represented in Jerusalem during that time, that feast of Pentecost. And these people came to see what's this going on with this 120. Don't know if initially they were just hearing it out of the windows of that upper room, what's going on, but if it was when, as the people began to spill out, again, still declaring the works of God. Speaking in tongues this morning is not our main focus, although I am believing for people to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and may whatever other gifts of the Holy Spirit rise up. I expect that today as well. But again, the point I'm making is their obedience to Jesus' command brought an endowment of power, including his power for boldness, as we're going to see evidence in the rest of the book of Acts. See, those 120 didn't just stay up in that upper room rejoicing over their ecstatic experience and their encounter and filling with the Holy Spirit. No, as they spilled out into the streets, see, because what Jesus said, you shall receive power and be my what? Witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes. But there was a mixed reaction from the crowds in Jerusalem that day, as it often is today. Acts 2 verse 12, they stood there, the crowds, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They ask each other. But others in the crowd ridicule them. They're just drunk, that's all. God's purpose was power. In parting, we saw one of the reasons, supernatural power for boldness. When we look at Peter again in a few moments, it's only about 7 weeks before this time, this day of Pentecost, was when Jesus was arrested. And Peter denied Jesus specifically 3 times. The last time he even began to curse and swear to the servant girl in the high priest's courtyard. Many of you know that story and how that Peter would repent after that and be restored and later recommissioned by the resurrected Jesus, told, go feed my sheep. But now on this day of Pentecost, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and some of the spectators are saying, oh, these people are just drunk. That's those fanatics over at Open Door. I don't know. You don't have to do all that stuff to worship Jesus. I know you can be very sober and quiet. And if you want to do that here, it's okay. Nobody's going to come kick you in the kneecap and say, you got to turn a backflip or something. Nah, we just let it be out of our hearts there. So these people have said, well, they're just drunk. Guess who it is that stands up and begins to boldly speak? Do y'all know? Peter did. The same guy that was opposite of boldness before. He was in the flesh boldly because he cut off the high priest servant's ear. I mean, he had that part of it. God wants to refine some stuff, doesn't he? Change it. Give us a Holy Spirit boldness that is productive, not destructive. Acts 2 verse 14, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, you might as well read that with me. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Hallelujah. Peter is preaching that message, drawing from the Old Testament reference in the book of Joel, from the prophet Joel. Peter at that very time is most likely speaking to some of the same individuals that had lifted their voice to crucify Jesus. Talk about intimidating. They weren't playing. They kill people in those days. And that's happening in other parts of the world now. But we don't see Peter wimping out. We don't see Peter being paralyzed by reliving the fears that he had maybe in that courtyard that night. We don't see him cowering down or drawing back at all. But now he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and with boldness. And he continues preaching this powerful message. Let me just give a few more verses of that before we move on. Verse 36, therefore, he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, Messiah. Their response to this bold, spirit-filled preaching, verse 37, the next verse. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, called conviction. When God shows us where we're wrong, anybody been there? Listen, if we haven't been there, then God wants to take us there today because we've got to understand our lostness before we can get saved, before we let him come. They cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Again, remission, that same word that was in Luke 24, it means to leave or to send away, along with forgiveness and pardon, the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Amen. Glory to God. Boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit will cause people to look to Jesus, not get focused on us. And they did, 3,000 that day. There may have been fear, I suspect there was, trying to hold Peter back that day, maybe to shut him up, but it didn't work. See, this wasn't the same fear-filled Peter. This was the filled-up Peter who was proclaiming with authority and with boldness. He had experienced his personal Pentecost, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the power to be, the power to become a witness. A few chapters later, after having actually literally experiencing arrest and incarceration, Peter and John with him, they went back to where other believers were when they were released from imprisonment at that moment. When they went back from where they were, they were sharing, they glorified God. Acts 4:31, and when they prayed with these other believers where they went back to, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. Filled with the Holy Spirit. See, this group, they had already been filled, but they got filled again. The power to witness was again evident. All were filled and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That word boldness means cheerful courage, assurance. It means freedom in speaking. Listen, it is true that being filled with the Holy Spirit is an event, but it is also to be an ongoing experience and process. Make sure that we understand that as Spirit-filled believers. You say, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 12 years old. Listen, if that's the last feeling we had, we may better redefine what filling is, because here's what the Bible says. Ephesians 5, verse 18, the last part, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Say that with me. Be filled with the Spirit. I just need that last part. It's an adequate comparison. Don't be drunk with wine, blah, blah. But be filled. Huh? Don't be under the influence. Don't be living under the influence of alcohol, something else. Live under the influence. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That be there, that word is in the present tense. It's an ongoing journey that we should have. I believe that the Lord wants to release Holy Spirit-empowered boldness to us today. Again, not a destructive, arrogant, I'm going to get in your face on Facebook. I'm going to tweet to you something I wouldn't say to your face. I'm not talking about that. I mean a Holy Spirit-empowered boldness that has a redemptive part of this that exhibits Jesus, just like we see happening right there. I believe there was one young man in particular from here. He used to be involved in deeply in drugs, and actually in his life, he used to make fun of Christians. If there was a believer around him, he would just kind of verbally persecute them if they were close enough. But then he got born again. And he'd been touched by the Holy Spirit himself. One of the things that he discovered was a newfound boldness that he himself was not ashamed to talk about Jesus in front of even his fellow former associates right there. Something transpires on the inside of us. A real, I agree with that old song that said, I just can't keep it to myself. This is too good. Let me begin to close. We need the Holy Spirit to effectively walk in love, to live in purity, and to witness in boldness. Does anybody else believe that? I need the Holy Spirit to work in me these things. Let me again clarify something. God's desire to fill believers with the Holy Spirit didn't end on the day of Pentecost some 2,000 years ago. We read it earlier. This promise is to you, your children, those that are far off. I think Waco, Texas is far off from Jerusalem. I think it includes us, don't you? He said that. So what's the requirement for his filling? First is salvation. God's gift of forgiveness and the new birth. God's gift to people who don't know him. Do you know? Do you have both forgiveness and the new life given by Jesus at work in you right now? If honestly your answer is, well, I hope so, or I think so, or maybe it's honest, I don't know. The Bible says we can know. 1 John 5:13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus. Not believing that I know he existed, but in relationship with. It's a word that means to put our faith and trust in him. We can know. If you died in the next heartbeat and you're standing before God and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? And I ask people this from time to time, witnessing to or sharing with somebody. If you're standing before God and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? I've heard a lot of different answers. I deserve it. I've been good. At least I've not been as bad as others. Maybe your answer would be, well, I go to church. I give money to the church and the charities. And listen, none of those things make any of us right and ready for heaven. None of those things can change our hearts. Only receiving Jesus and what he did on the cross, taking our place, and by his resurrection. What I'd like to do is to pray a prayer with you. Not as a ritual, though. not a pressured decision that I'm asking you to make today in this room or online. It's not to even be based on our emotions, although we may have great emotions. But it's a choice that we make. Our choice is either that we receive Jesus as Lord, boss, owner, as Lord and Savior, or we reject Him. And I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking, do you want to turn the title deed of your life over to Jesus today? Would you close your eyes through this room? First of all, do you recognize, has God made that clear to you, the spiritual lostness that we've inherited from Adam's nature? Are you aware of that? The Bible speaks that we're spiritually separated from God. Spiritually dead, actually. Do you recognize that? Do you acknowledge that? If so, I want to tell you, it's Jesus that offers life and forgiveness, resurrection life on the inside that begins to work. Forgiveness and purpose. If you're here today, and I'm not having you stand or come forward at this point, but I'd like to lead us in a prayer together. But if that applies to you and you say, this is my choice. Maybe you're a backslider that you have walked up close with the Lord and you let diversions and distractions and temptations, other stuff just pull you back. Today's your day of starting over. God let Peter start over. God let these guys, John, one of the ones that said, can we call down fire from heaven? John would later become known as the apostle of love. In the Gospel of John and in 1 John, he uses the word more than any other, in each of those books, more than any other New Testament book of the Bible. God transformed his heart. So I don't know where you are. Maybe you had one time walked with God, just need today's a new start. But I want, if you'll slip your hand up, let me just acknowledge you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want, but if you'll slip your hand up, thank you, sir. You're saying, I'm starting over. Today's my day. Or starting for the very first time. I want Jesus to be Lord in my life. Hands through this room. Just let me acknowledge it and put them right back down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Others, I want us to pray, but I'm not going to let these just pray alone. Thank you, ma'am. Would others, I want us to pray this. Church, we can pray this together. Pray it after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I am not running from you anymore. Today, I'm running to you. I respond to your invitation where you said to come. I come to you, Jesus, acknowledging apart from you, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. And I ask you to forgive me for everything I've done wrong. Not based on my goodness. But forgive me based on what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus, I believe you died for me. And you rose again. So today I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in. And I give you authority in my life and over my life. Make me new like your word says you will. I choose this day to surrender my heart and life to you. By your power at work in me, I will live for you. I thank you right now for making me new. Church, I want us to pray one more thing. Devil, I take back the authority I gave to you. I give all that authority to Jesus now. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. This day, I'm your child. And I thank you for it. Thank you for your transforming work and that process. In me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, you prayed that prayer, made that decision. You raised your hand. Maybe you're one that prayed that and you didn't raise your hand beforehand, but just slip your hand up. I want one of the ushers to come and give you. If you may not have a Bible, we've got just a packet of follow-up material just to give to you. If you'll just raise your hand, let them come to where you are. Again, we're not putting you on the spot or making you come to the front or something, but we want to be able to follow that up with you. We'll keep you in this loop of opportunities that God is still opening up as we grow together in Him. Now I want to have the worship team come back up. You hear? Y'all come on back. Oh, glory to God. Listen, salvation is God's gift to the world or to the lost. Can I hear an amen? Thank God for His incredible gift. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit or the filling with the Holy Spirit is God's gift to believers. Salvation gets us ready for heaven. And filling of the Holy Spirit gets us ready to be witnesses before we get there. If you're going to heaven today, okay. If you're not going to heaven today, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Filled and refilled and overflowing. I believe there are those of you here, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven. But you also realize that there's more God has for you and wants for you. In Acts chapter 1, remember Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Then the Holy Spirit came and filled them. We don't have to go to Jerusalem, and now we don't have to wait. But look at what Jesus said. Just three verses here. John 7:37. Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. I see some requirements there. It's just obedience. He said, are you thirsty? Come. That's a command. Drink. That's another command. If you're thirsty, come and drink. I want you to stand up with me. Verse 38, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Out of your spirit comes rivers. If we've come and we've drank. And verse 39 gives us the setting because Jesus, he had not gone to the cross yet. 39 says, but by this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we don't have to wait beyond today. He has come. He has been glorified. He has sent the Holy Spirit back. He said, if you're thirsty, go ahead and come and drink. And I want those that desire to be filled. You know what? I think we can have social distancing up here. Just kind of get a couple of arms lengths away from somebody. But if you want to come to be filled or refilled, I just want you to join me at the front. I want us to pray over. I want us to pray together up here. Again, you can respect people's distance and stuff, but come. Prayer partners, you'll be able to come and get, again, respecting folks. I believe for a fresh outpour of the Holy Spirit today. This is the day of Pentecost. And I'm not just celebrating a historical event. I believe there's a right now event that God wants to release us. So y'all go ahead and step up toward the front if you will, because people are coming behind you. We're asking God for the overflow, the infilling. And even those of you that are watching online, even those of you that are here today, let me tell you, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I believe some of you have already been filled, but there's a refilling. The Bible says when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if the place is going to shake, but may God shake some stuff in us that needs to be shaken. Amen. Let me help you pray this prayer, and then I want to tell you before we do this what you expect. So we're going to pray this prayer. Thank God for saving us. Because first of all, the cleansing of Jesus. Then we're going to, as His children, we come to Him. Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, you'll have that on the screen, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, somebody say more, will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So we've come, we said, Lord, I'm thirsty. I've come. I want to drink. Now I want your filling to come into my life. First of all, let's thank Him. Lord, thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I'm your child. Thank you that I've been washed. Lord, I, as your child, I come to you right now asking you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. You said the promise was to us, even though we're far off. As your child, I'm asking for a filling of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, as your eyes are closed, because I don't want you distracted by anything around you, just begin to worship him. He said, come drink. Drink. Out of your spirit comes a river as you worship him. And if you want to, that universal sign of surrender is uplifted hands, stick them up. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm choosing surrender. You begin to, out of your belly, out of your spirit, man, it may be words and sounds and syllables that begin to come. You just give breath to those. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. It's not you're having to imitate somebody else. No. It's just, Lord, I worship you. Feel. When they in that upper room began to speak, and later on in Acts 10, later on in Acts chapter 19, see, God gives a heavenly language, a language that the speaker doesn't know, but our communication with him. The Bible says we don't know how to pray for everything as we ought to, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. Words not uttered in human, our normal language. Prayer folks around, just go ahead. We believe right now. While the worship team sings, I just want you to continue in this mode of worship. Take a few minutes right here. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, all through this congregation. We need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in the hour in which we live. Nobody excluded. If you've received Jesus, then we take it. We take, Lord, we take what you're giving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't let your mind shut you down. As the Holy Spirit is filling, recognize your mind may want to stop you, because what's coming out of my mouth, that doesn't.